So let's get to the heart of what you've been thinking about lately. You've said that the federal government has gotten better at processes, but worse at handling some of the big challenges. Tell us what you mean by that.
All one has to do is look at why the public has lost confidence in government. You look at the debacle for the Katrina recovery, the confusion in dealing with the oil spill and its impact on states and cities in the Gulf, the debacle of the Iraq assistance after our military victory, and certainly everyone is very, very concerned about our inability to lead effectively with the fiscal crisis that we're confronted with. And future challenges will probably be much more difficult in a globalized, competitive world.
So why do you think that is so? What's gotten worse? Why is the difference?
I think we have made progress in these processes, as you indicated, and that has obscured the fact that we've lost this capacity to deal with large undertakings. And the chapters in this book that you referred to present what the authors believe are urgently needed steps to better equip the nation to meet these challenges. And the interesting thing is it's the chapters are from the perspectives of the White House, the Executive Office of the President, states, regional actions, local governments.
Okay, now about a year and a half ago, there was a story published about you and Good Friday of 1964 when President Johnson said, you've got to go to Alaska and clean up after a major earthquake. How did that operation go, and why was the federal government in a better position then to deal with something like that?
First of all, we had an OMB that had a strong management component in it. And that organization recommended to President Johnson within 48 hours of the earthquake in Alaska a very powerful yet very simple organization to deal with it, in contrast to the huge, cumbersome Department of DHS that we have now in place. Consequently, we were able to move very quickly. As a director of that for the president, I was able to mobilize the resources of the whole government and do it very, very, very quickly. But we had special arrangements with the Congress. I detailed congressional staff to my staff. We had a cabinet committee chaired by a powerful senator, an ally of the president. I was given tacit authority by both the president and congressional members of Congress, or at least the key committees, to modify or suspend any federal agency regulation or process that got in the way of meeting our very, very strict targets for reconstruction. And it was very open, very transparent kind of operation in which we engaged the public very, very actively. Now, this took time in the beginning, but it saved time in the end, and it developed confidence of the public in what we were doing.
And you were a career civil servant doing all this.
I was. We did not use any political appointees in the operations. Political appointees played a very key and necessary role in setting policies. For example, we were not to rebuild just what there was there before, but rebuild highways, for example, to modern standards. We were to rebuild the small boat harbors, all of which had been destroyed, rebuild them to a much larger size with a view toward economic development of the future. So we were not just replacing, as generally is the case, but we were rebuilding with an eye toward the future and the economic viability of the state, which was threatened. Because if we had not been able to do this, and by the way, no engineer thought we could redesign, relocate, rebuild public facilities such as the harbors, such as the water and sewer systems in time to avoid most of the inhabitants of Alaska abandoning the state as the fall breezes came along, because they have a very short construction season in Alaska.
We're speaking with Dwight Ink, co-editor of the book Transforming American Governance, Rebooting the Public Square. Let's talk about that book. You said that there's a number of recommendations from the authors that contributed to get the government back on track in its ability to respond to those big challenges. What are some of the key recommendations?
One of the most important recommendations that a couple of us presented was the need for OMB to restore capacity to deal with organization, which failed in trying to set up the DHS. That was organized by a bunch of able people, but they were amateurs with respect to government organization. OMB that has the capacity to provide guidance on all these various type of special czars that have been set up. Those need to be organized in a way that do not compete with the departments, but rather strengthen the capacity of departments to carry out their own missions. We need to remember and restore how to deal with Congress. Congress has serious problems, but we don't know any longer how to deal effectively in the field of management. We need much greater reliance on career leaders in the operations of our government. We're layering them over with more political appointees all the time. OMB is becoming politicized. It has over 70 political appointees in the OMB, and it's more and more difficult for the career people to function effectively and provide the president with the kind of objective advice that he needs. I'm recommending a presidential commission be set up to look at the ways in which top political appointees impact department operations, both positive and negatively. I think we ought to look at the impact of this layering of political appointees and how it has affected both the opportunity for career people to develop, and by the way, we need to set up a mobility system in senior executive service, which was contemplated by the Civil Service Reform Act when we were developing those recommendations. We need to reinvent how we deal with Congress. We need to function in a much more open way that engages citizens in decision-making to the extent to which you can in the non-national security issues. Those are a series of recommendations, and they have to be carried out. They have to have leadership from OMB. They have to be carried out in a way that is really robust, not this timid, incremental approach that we've been using. Final comment. We must find a way to begin dealing with any kind of reform early in a presidency. We need to arrange the framework for these reforms during the transition period. Instead, we bring in people who really are not very familiar with how government operates. It takes a year to decide what to do, another year, second year of an administration to figure out how to do it, and by the third or fourth year, we no longer have the kind of interest and support that is required for bold steps. And we do need bold steps. We need bold changes in the government because we are going the wrong way in terms of our ability to handle the big undertakings of this nation.